God is a refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Amen. Please open up your Pew Bible to page 671 for today's sermon text. Educators say that if we both read and listen to something, it's a greater possibility that we're going to remember what we have read and what we have heard. So I'm going to have you read this text with me responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, ask you to read the even-numbered verses, and then we'll all join to read the last verse, verse 8, together. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Once again, Pew Bible, page 671. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim,
when the doors of the street are
closed,
and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds,
but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Together, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. This is the word of our God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, God teaches us a number of important truths. Notice that I didn't say spiritual truths. You won't find the name of Jesus in Ecclesiastes. We really find no gospel in this 12-chapter book. But God does teach us some important truths. First, we're all on a spiritual journey. We're all trying to find the meaning in life, but the things of this world are meaningless. In fact, Solomon uses that word meaningless no fewer than 35 times in this book. Nothing worldly can satisfy our spiritual needs. Secondly, the more we search for the meaning in life, the more we're going to find some troubling mysteries. Life is unfair. Our human wisdom is all too often insufficient, and death does await us all. Thirdly, even though there are mysteries in life and there is the reality of death, that shouldn't cause us to avoid enjoying God's worldly gifts, despite their limitations. Solomon says in chapter 9, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Finally, while God is a gracious giver, James says that from him comes every good and perfect gift, God is also a stern judge. Solomon says in chapter 11, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. In the last chapter of the book, the chapter of our text, Solomon brings his divinely inspired instruction to a close. And basically what he's saying in chapter 12 is this: out of all the things I've had to say to you, these are the ones that I really want to emphasize because they are the most important. And so as we today wrap up our Taking up our cross series, we look at the golden years and we hear two godly reminders about growing old. A reminder about aging and a reminder about meaning or purpose. And let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Your Spirit send with grace divine, and let your truth within us shine. Amen. Oh, one of my favorite comics. Pickles. A while back, there was a four-cell strip of Pickles, and their grandson, Nelson, was having a conversation with Grandpa Pickles Earl. And Nelson asked his grandpa, "Is it true that no one lived through the flood except for Noah and his family?" Grandpa Pickles replied, "That's what the Bible tells us, Nelson, so we believe it to be true." Little Nelson thought for a moment and then asked, "Well then, Grandpa, how did you and Grandma make it?" Let's watch this video on the aging process.
I'm an old man now, I can't do nothing. Young folks don't pay me no mind. But in my day, I sure was something. Before I felt the heavy hand of time. I'm an old man now, bound for glory. Time to lay these burdens down. Had enough of this old world worry. Gonna trade my troubles for the crown.
You know, my dad used to say, and he was very careful to use the word older, we're all getting older. And as I look out at the crowd today, there are some of you obviously who are older than others. As Solomon begins his words to us today, he reminds us that getting older brings with it some things that aren't very fun. Listen again to Solomon. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them." You understand that Solomon is talking about that point in life when we no longer enjoy the years that God has given us, but we seem to spend most of our time lamenting and rueing the cross of advanced years that Jesus tells us to take up and carry. Solomon mentions the time when the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. Our mind doesn't work the way it used to. It grows dark. And there's a sadness in growing old. As my mother was nearing the end of her life here, she every day would go to the obituary page in the Watertown Daily Times, and she'd read through those obituaries. Now, I do it because I need to know if somebody at St. Paul's has gone to heaven. But my mom did it when I asked her so that she could find out if another of her dear friends had died. and the clouds return after the rain. Our bodies don't heal as quickly as they used to, do they? And when we have a surgery or a procedure, that recovery time seems to take forever. The keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, Solomon says. Our hands begin to shake, and our once powerful legs no longer have the strength that they once had. We tend to grow shorter as we get older, and in some cases, like my mom, the spine begins to curve. The grinders cease because they are few. It doesn't take a Hebrew scholar to realize that Solomon is here talking about our teeth. Those looking through the windows grow dim. Our eyesight weakens. Many of us wear glasses or contacts, and how often don't we find that whatever we're reading goes farther and farther from our nose? The doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades. What did you say? Would you say that again, please? I didn't hear you. Solomon talks about people rising up at the sound of birds. As we get older, we don't sleep well, do we? We go to bed and we toss and turn with our aches and our pains, and sometimes there are worries and concerns on our minds. And we have a hard time sleeping in. I can't sleep past 4:45 a.m. I'm up with the birds. And Solomon says all their songs grow faint. Our once strong and clear voice no longer sings or speaks the way it used to. People are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, things that never used to bother us, like driving at night or jumping on the rides at the fair, now fill us with fear and dread. We're afraid of being alone. Help, I've fallen, I can't get up. The almond tree blossoms. For some, the color of their hair whitens, and for others, we experience what's called the RHS, the receding hairline syndrome. The grasshopper drags itself along. We don't have the energy we used to have. Some days, just getting out of bed seems to be a chore, right? As one of our retired seminary professors said, it's a victory just to go to the bathroom. And desire is no longer stirred, Solomon says. We lose our appetite, not only for food, but for the passion and romance that used to be such a part of our lovemaking. All of our desires, even the will to live, are diminished and eventually cease. And if that weren't enough, we observe young people and we're amazed at what their bodies can do and what our bodies cannot do. And there's what I call an emotional impact. Some call it a sense of invisibility. To the younger generation, we're often considered irrelevant and useless, invisible, so to speak. We're there physically, but what we have to say and offer is often disregarded as nothing more than the opinions of old fuddy-duddies. It's like we're tossed onto the heap pile and are just waiting for Mike and Frank from American Pickers to come by and reclaim us. And then the end comes. People go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets, Solomon says. At the moment of our death, we transition from our temporal existence into our eternal one. While Solomon uses a number of metaphors to describe death, the silver cord is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the spring, the wheel is broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, the end result is the same. We die. Unless judgment day comes first, we all die. But life on earth goes on, doesn't it? Solomon says, mourners go about the streets. I detect a real hint of bitterness in Solomon's sentiments. Using strong words and vivid imagery, Solomon is reminding us that a day is going to come when it will be too late to focus on God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, he says. If we wait, that day may never come. For every penitent thief on the cross, there are countless impenitent ones who will end their lives in the same way that they lived them, unprepared to meet their Creator. And when that happens, life truly becomes what Solomon says in the last verse of our text, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. So, how do we approach life as we enter into the golden years, especially when, for many of us, they seem to be more rusty than golden? How do we go about living when our bodies are constantly reminding us that we're that much closer to death today than we were yesterday, and that after that we have to face the judgment? How can we find real joy and contentment and purpose in life when Jesus tells us to take up our cross and carry it in our sunset years of life? If there's any one thing that comes through from Solomon's words today, it is this: without God, life is an empty shell. Without God, there can be no hope for a happy hereafter in heaven. Without God, everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. That's what Jesus is confirming in our gospel today when he says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Would you read this with me? Ecclesiastes, without the gospel, is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. No matter what you accomplish or enjoy in life, without the gospel, you're going to hell. You see, what's interesting about the book of Ecclesiastes is that it doesn't give us the right answers. It gives us the wrong answers. It doesn't give us the right information, but it opens our eyes to the wrong information. Simply put, Ecclesiastes is a reality check. It seals us off from the one-way streets that we want to take in life and encourages us to turn to the Lord, to listen to what he tells us in his word, and to learn from him those things that are really important, the things that are meaningful, the things that will last forever. And what are some of those things? The first is the gospel. Of all the voices that are clamoring for our attention today, the gospel, the Christian gospel, is in a class all by itself, for it has the uniqueness of the unconditional love of God. The Christian gospel grabs us by the heart and fills the void that the book of Ecclesiastes exposes. The Christian gospel, the gospel that you and I believe, is a message of grace, God's undeserved love for sinners. It's the message that this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The first truth that God would have us hear and learn is that he does love us. And he wants to have a relationship with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Without that, life is meaningless and eternity is hopeless. The second gospel truth is that in Christ we have a new identity. In Christ, we're no longer lost and condemned sinners. We're redeemed and saved saints. We no longer simply exist, twiddling our thumbs, kind of wondering what life is all about, but we have purpose and meaning. Paul puts it this way: if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. As Christ's new creation, we have a ministry from God, whether we are young, old, or anywhere in between. We are God's ambassadors to bring Jesus Christ to our little corner of the world. Or as our mission statement says, we bring every person in our area of influence closer to Christ. And I truly believe that senior citizens have been strategically blessed and placed by God to do this. How's that, you ask? Pray. Be a prayer warrior with the time of grace God has graciously given you. Bring the needs of God's church militant to the Lord God in prayer. Mentor. Latch on to somebody who's younger than you are and help that person to make choices that are godly and good. Encourage, teach, volunteer, smile, hug. The list is endless. You need some examples. Alfred Lord Tennyson was still writing when he was 80 years old. Thomas A. Edison was still inventing when he was 85. Michelangelo was still producing masterpieces when he was 89. But you know who my favorite is? Enoch Johnson, a 103-year-old member at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where I spent my vicar year. Visiting him one day, I asked, Enoch, why do you think God let you live to be 103 years old? He smiled and said, Vicar, number one, I got to taste Mountain Dew. And secondly, I believe that God gave me all of these years so that I could continue to show my wife of 75 years, 93-year-old Helen, how much I love her. My friends, there's no retirement from the Lord's service. And the more we realize that, the younger we will be. And so regardless of your age, trust the God of your salvation and live every day of your life with him and for him. Be thankful for all the ways God has blessed you in your life and take all your needs to him in prayer. But when you do, then you really can say, meaningful. Meaningful. Everything is meaningful. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join our hearts and voices.